Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to our show. I'm Dave Balog, and we are looking at history. Well, we're looking at the 2024 election, and unbelievable, Donald Trump still dominates the news and looms as a not only a candidate, but a potential next president. A return to the White House just can't happen. And what we think is important among many factors is, of course, Americans have to vote of the democracy for many reasons we'll talk about during these podcasts. But the amount of support that Trump continues to get from the MAGAs and the inability of the courts, the inability of the Congress to stop him is astonishing. So today we're going to start our series with a look at one of the real dangers in society, Rupert Murdoch. Founder of Fox News Channel, the power broker, and this is from our new book, The 20 Worst Americans, What History Can Teach Us About Overcoming the Present. And it is a look at how we need to know our past so that we can present. So again, I'm Dave Balog. I am the information officer for 1,000 Moms, and I have extensive background in history. I'm a graduate of Hamilton College with a degree in history, and I have been a professional writer all my adult life. My background was in neuroscience, brain science, and I bring those tools to this this book, and we have many other folks, people who we are going to profile, the good and the bad, and how history can inform us. So let's begin. Power for power's sake. This is from of our book, The 20 Worst Americans. 25 film noir, Chinatown, comma. Jack Nicholson plays Jake Giddies, a street-savvy private investigator who stumbles upon the most shamelessly wealthy, powerful, and maliciously evil owner of the entire water supply for the city of Los Angeles. That was a thing back then, private ownership of a public utility. In pre-war Los Angeles, water was the lifeblood of a city built in a desert. John Huston played this odious character, Noah Cross, to perfection. When he and Nicholson meet, Nicholson gets the measure of Huston's depravity. Nicholson can only ask, why is Houston craving more power and money. Nicholson reasons aloud, how much are you worth? You don't need more money. You don't need more power. You don't need more fame. What is it? Houston pauses a beat and dismissively answers Nicholson, the future, Mr. Giddies, the future. As with Noah Cross in Chinatown, it's all about ego, power, and influence for the commodities, news instead of water. Rupert Murdoch inherited his father's Australian newspaper business upon Keith Murdoch's death in 1952. The son was in his early 20s and proceeded to buy up small newspapers across Australia. It was an unlikely beginning for a media empire, a young, inexperienced climber in a nation considered a colonial outpost in the post. Next for Rupert Murdoch were the United Kingdom and the United States. 1969 in the United States, let alone on a global scale. Murdoch, for one, doesn't hide that he uses his power to gain more power. He's been meeting with and lobbying presidents for decades, going as far back as John F. Kennedy, who he met in the Oval Office in 1961, and Ronald Reagan in 1983. And then there was Donald Trump, who made it to Murdoch's friends list. It wasn't just hugs and golf outings, but also frequent Oval Office phone calls, as The New Yorker reported in 2019. And it's not just presidents he's met with. He's dined with prime ministers around the world, like Margaret Thatcher in the UK and John Howard in Australia. Murdoch's influence is hard to overstate. Murdoch doesn't just have the power to settle lawsuits. He has the power to move world events, almost always in a negative and harmful way. Three of the most destructive events of the 21st century, the Iraq War, the January 6th insurrection, and Trump's big lie, simply could not have happened without Rupert Murdoch saying, let's do it. I've created the Leviathan that is Fox News Channel in 1996 without the help of extreme devious behavior of Roger Ailes. This former producer of The Mike Douglas Show, a very popular 1960s television talk show that appealed to a culturally conservative audience angry with the rock and roll generation and the sexual revolution of the 60s. One day on The Douglas Show, Roger Ailes met with a guest on a rehabilitation tour for his upcoming campaign for the presidency in 1968. Ailes bluntly told Richard Nixon that the camera doesn't like him and that he was a failure on television, and Ailes had the solution. Ailes' prescription? Ignore the media, especially the hostile reporters, and turn his campaign events into television spectacles. Take softball questions pre-selected from friendly audience members, drop the details, get rid of statistics, and avoid facts in favor of feelings. Medium that encourage passion over politics, and that if he didn't do this, he would lose again. And immediately signed on to his program. Fox News stands as the culmination of everything Roger Ailes tried to do for Nixon in 1968, and also for Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush during the 80s and 90s. At Fox, Ailes created a vast stage set designed to resemble an actual news network, that is directly hardwired into the homes of millions of America's most conservative voters. GOP candidates communicate straight to their base, bypassing professional journalists that Ailes once called matadors who want to tear down the social order. And with their elitist, horse-dung socialist thinking, Ailes built the most formidable propaganda machine ever seen outside the communist bloc, pioneering a business model that effectively monetizes conservative politics through its relentless focus on the bottom line. "I'm not in politics," Ailes once said. "I'm in the ratings business, and we're winning." And above all, the message to Fox viewers was, don't think. As Ailes, Murdoch, and their buddy Rush Limbaugh kneecapped traditional media, it was Limbaugh who directly ordered his audience not to think. He would do that for them, and they needed only to become a follower, a dittohead in the lingo from his heyday. A dittohead was a caller who supinely announced himself or herself as in complete agreement with the latest Limbaugh rant. Well, let's go back 20 years. The U.S. invasion of Iraq began with the campaign of bombings known as Shock and Awe, as U.S. and coalition troops prepared to enter harm's way on March 20th, 2003. Some of the people responsible for the war were waiting from a safe distance, many thousands of miles away. Murdoch watched the explosions over Baghdad on a panel of television screens at Fox News headquarters in Los Angeles. By phone, he told friends of colleagues of his satisfaction that after weeks of hand-wringing, the battle had finally begun. You can understand why he was satisfied. He had used all of his power and influence to make it happen. The New York Times even called it Mr. Murdoch's war. For months, his vast media organization agitated for invasion. The non-Murdoch Guardian newspaper examined 175 Murdoch-owned papers in the run-up to the war, and completely, coincidentally, all of them supported the invasion. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The 20 Worst Americans, What History Can Teach Us About Overcoming the Present. And this is 1,000 Moms Talk, and I am Dave Bela. Well, thanks for staying with us as we get back to Rupert Murdoch. This is what Murdoch's Fox News network looked like back then as the invasion took place. Coalition forces are cutting to Iraqi defenses quickly today, said one headline. Iraqis are tasting freedom. Well, it may be too early to say we told you so, but if the tests are accurate, the U.S. may have just found its smoking gun. Our president, the man they called the liberator, by golly, he has done a pretty good job here. These are the words and the headlines on Fox News as the United States went to war in Iraq. And yes, Fox really had special theme music and an animation of a fighter jet turning into a bald eagle. There was also the American flag forever waving on the screen, and there were repeated descriptions of American forces as liberators and the constant fear-mongering about fictitious weapons of mass destruction. And Fox News pioneered the campaign to rename French fries as Freedom Fries to punish the less than full-throated French support of the war. While primetime ratings for Fox were up 45% the year of the invasion, Fox overtook cable news rival CNN and translated those ratings into revenue, which more than doubled during the peak war coverage. There was real money to be made from the illegal invasion for everyone. Cheaper oil was a key goal of the drivers of the war, and Murdoch's Fox News was keen to support that goal. Skip ahead a decade, and Fox News primed millions of viewers to care about the ridiculous non-issues that Donald Trump was successfully exploiting during his first primary campaign and then general election campaign. Fox helped in 2011 by giving then private citizen Donald Trump his own weekly segment on its doltish morning show, Fox and Friends. After he took the Republican nomination in 2016, Fox basically became his propaganda arm. And once he took the White House, they became state TV. Opinion hosts on Fox were practically cabinet members. The final line was crossed at Trump's campaign events, where these hosts literally took the stage with him. On January 6th, Insurrection Day, these hosts texted and called Trump throughout the day, pleading with him to protect the brand. Some of the techniques used at Fox, initiated by and part of the Fox Media playbook to entice, seduce, and capture viewers, include dropping any pretense of journalistic standards. The standard for stories covered on Fox News is simple. How can a news story be used to bolster Republican politicians or advance the cause of Republican leading organizations like the National Rifle Association or Evangelical Christians? Second technique, isolating viewers. Richard Nixon constantly tried to fit his square peg into a round hole. The liberal elite represented by John F. Kennedy's blocked real Americans, later the silent majority of hardworking, conservative, white America represented by Nixon. Conservative was God's chosen political ideology, and that was that. Another Fox News technique, creating a false dichotomy. Make the choices for viewers absurdly simple and limited. No gray areas requiring thought and debate. Simple may not be sound policy, but it fits nicely in a 60-minute format, including commercials. Repeat to absurdity. If it's not the truth, a simple story can seem like a true one with repetition until the captured audience accepts it as fact. It's a tactic ideal for audiences with limited resources, including time, money, and curiosity, to get other points of view. Creating an enemy. Maintaining a world built on propaganda necessitates creating an enemy, which is included in the in-group. Fox audiences are honest, righteous, pure. The enemy is evil, untruthful, lazy, superstitious, and barbaric. Distorting and oversimplifying graphics. Charts that appear in news stories can be easily manipulated. Fox News has mastered this technique. Viewers might see on their screen a pie chart with slices that add up to 135%. all to conservatives' advantage. Scapegoating. This technique places blame on an innocent group or an individual to move blame away from the group or individual actually responsible for the problem. It also makes sweeping generalizations about a group based on the actions of a few. Appeals to fear. Fear is the most primitive basic survival emotion, so messages to our fear center, are the rule, are the gold standard. And anyone in the out group for Fox is anyone who is not a straight white Christian. Any minority is a threat to America. Some people say, this is a technique that comes straight from the propaganda playbook, and it's used in almost every speech by Donald Trump. It's fluff, feel-good, anger-provoking words without substance. Prime example was Trump and how he manipulated the Obama birther conspiracy. Sex appeal, another Fox technique. Leave no detail to chance. Ailes and Murdoch prefer their female newsreaders to be blonde, thin, with curvaceous breasts and legs to appeal to the male demographic. Give them what they want. In a memorable interview, reporter Ted Koppel, who created the reporting-heavy Nightline on ABC, confronted Fox's Sean Hannity. To the latter's smirks, Koppel said that Hannity was very bad for America because he was very good at what he does, telling his viewers what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Well, at age 92, Rupert Murdoch retains control of his empire and runs Fox News by himself as a successor to Roger Ailes, who was forced to resign in 2016 amid accusations of sexual harassment, died the same year. Cancer, severe pneumonia, and complications from a back injury suffered on his son's yacht, Murdoch might have an invincibility complex. Murdoch is set to marry again in 2023. There's no clear path of succession among his sons to the Murdoch empire. Well, former Fox News executive and former network executive Barry Diller said recently, the tragedy of Rupert Murdoch is that he's going to be known for what he did with his eyes open. To pour that kind of divisiveness consistently is a poison that I think is truly unfortunate. It's going to ruin his reputation and legacy, and it has not been too kind to his adoptive country. So that is our reading on Rupert Murdoch and what he has done and continues to do to so many Americans who tune in and listen to every word they hear, every graphic they see on Fox News. It's something we all need to be aware of because it's just part of the fight, part of the degradation of any kind of civility in America. Well, thank you for listening. And I want to recommend that you can get the full chapter on Rupert Murdoch plus the stories of 19 other worst Americans and how they poisoned our country and how they have put democracy at such terrible risk. And democracy is not an abstract concept. it's going to affect you and your family if we lose it. It will affect you every day in every way. Jobs, they'll be for the rich. Education, again, for the rich. Taxes, well, you already see their predilection, which was under Trump, to give tax breaks, massive tax breaks, to the rich. It's a recipe for disaster, and Trump has signaled this alarmingly, even this week, how he is going to eliminate the deep state and really become a full-fledged autocrat, authoritarian, and fascist. It's very scary. Please get your copy of our book, The 20 Worst Americans, What History Can Teach Us About Overcoming the Present. It's available right now on Amazon. I am the author, Dave Balog, B-A-L-O-G. You can search it there. We have also put a link in the description on Blog Talk Radio, and we urge you greatly to get involved. Unfortunately, we have to do it again. We did it in 2020, and we must come together in 2024 to stop Donald Trump. Thank you again for listening. See you next time.